On FM, online and DAB digital radio.
This is Lee Chambers.
Cambridge 105.
I've got Labour leader of Cambridge City Council, Lewis Herbert, in front of me to go through the newspapers. Good morning, Lewis.
Hi, Lee.
We've got a jingle for the Sunday newspapers. I don't know what it sounds like. Shall we give it a go?
Go on.
The Sunday Paper Review.
Blimey, you better be good. Thank you very much for getting up early on a Sunday morning. What would you normally be doing on a Sunday morning?
I sort of spend quite a lot of time on the laptop through the weekend. It's a good time to catch up. I get up to 100 emails a day, so I can't all deal with them all in the week, particularly if it's a really busy week. So I enjoy immensely what I'm doing, and we enjoy Sundays. We particularly go out on a Sunday through the winter months knocking on doors. So one of the things about politicians and councillors in Cambridge is that we find out what people want and we respond to it by knocking on their doors.
By canvassing. Gosh, you're never resting, are you, really? You're always thinking about the next election, I suppose.
Well, it's not so much that. I think outside of the election period, I think rightly residents would say, well, don't bother us now if it's just to ask how we're going to vote. So we just go in with an open question. Let me know what you want to talk about, what's concerning you about your area.
And you weren't in Liverpool this weekend. Do you not go to the party conferences?
I went last year. So, and that was an interesting conference. And I was thinking about it, but there were several events, family events coming up that meant that it didn't really fit in this year. But I would have particularly... the fringe aspects, the meetings, the learning from people who know a lot about key issues that affect Cambridge, the conferences can be really useful.
Well, the main point of the conference, you didn't need to go really, did you? Coming to do the Sunday newspapers, there's quite a lot
this
of coverage.
This is far more exciting.
So what stories have you got for me?
So I've got four. Obviously, the Labour Party and the leadership election yesterday. The second is because both political parties have got their element of turmoil looking at Cameron and May. I mean, the big issue for us as a city is, I don't know, the fudging and the lack of direction that we're seeing at the moment. But yeah, there's a sort of Russian tell storybook from one of Cameron's communication directors. So that tells a bit more about a slightly more subtle approach to politics than we've had from the Labour Party over the last couple of months. The whole issue of refugees, Calais, Syria, particularly for me, and it's in the Observer, the commitment that David Cameron made early in the summer about the unaccompanied minors that are in Calais and in Europe. So we've got up to 3,000 children, and Britain promised to start helping them. And out of 3,000, we've so far helped 30.
Well, let's start with the Labour the conference and the events of yesterday. What have you got? How are the newspapers covering it? I mean, you've got the Observer there, the Times, and some of the tabloids. What angles are they all taking?
Well, the Daily Mail doesn't get to it until page 8, so it clearly isn't critical for them. It's the lead story on the Observer and the Sunday Times. Being Sunday newspapers, they want to try and get a lot of column inches, so they're looking for division, they're looking to see what the angles are. I think the critical issue that they're looking at is, will Labour pull together? How will the shadow cabinet be elected? Will we see an opposition in Parliament of all the talents and not just a sort of what I would say has been a rag bag over the last few months? So I regard it as a wasted summer. We are here for residents. Politicians are here to deal with issues. We need to hold this government to account. We've got to get our act together.
Where do you stand on Jeremy Corbyn as leader?
Well, I in a way, my political nursery was with Jeremy Corbyn, Livingstone and Macdonald, because we were all councillors in the 1980s. So I do not want a rerun of the 1980s. And so one of my fears is that some of the people next to Corbyn want to essentially do what they didn't achieve in the 1980s, and that is really try and reshape the Labour Party. So I'm with neither of them, really. I didn't get excited by it. I thought that the move by the Parliamentary Labour Party to challenge publicly a leader who's only been elected a year ago was a stupid mistake, because it drew attention to division, negativity, and I think they had a different tactic. They could have challenged and been much clearer about doing a deal without going this far. So I counterpose how the Labour Party is behaving and the transition from Cameron to May as two completely different ways of tackling roughly the same issue. You've got huge divisions on different policy issues within both parties.
And can I ask you how you voted? You don't have to tell me.
I'm not going to say, but I will say, I was singularly unexcited. I compare a bit the Labour Party to the sort of old tale of King Solomon, where he was trying to work out, it's a bit convoluted this one, he was trying to work out, Lee,
the baby.
I mean, the baby is, it's not that the Labour Party is a baby, it's over 100 years old, but I think that whole issue of which side is actually cares most about the future, which side cares most about policies that do genuinely deliver. It isn't just about what you say in politics, it's how you deliver. So I think the baby analogy of just watching both sides just pull the baby, and then which one is actually going to sort it out. And largely that will fall in Jeremy's court, because he's got to do a deal with the Parliamentary Labour Party. If he's going to get the right talent coming back, which I think they should, and I was hugely disappointed that a number of them pulled out recently and some of them didn't even stand in the shadow cabinet a year ago, he's got to pull the place together.
Well, I suppose lots of people say there are two key questions. Can Corbyn be Prime Minister? Is he electable as a Prime Minister? And is that the most important thing?
You've got to be electable, particularly because it's 4 years till the next election, because you've got to challenge and you've got to have that potential. I'm sure he and the Labour team's electable. So it isn't the same as winning in the Labour Party leadership, albeit that it is something to note that we are the largest political party in Western Europe, and out of 600,000 people, 500,000 voted, and it was a 3-2 decision. So we are a very big party and a movement, as Jeremy would say, but we've got to be there for the 60 million, not the 600,000.
And some people say this has been, as you've indicated, quite a divisive time, and there's talk of the Labour Party splitting. Do you think that will happen?
No. I think that, well, I lived through the 1980s, and we had the Gang of Four left about 1983, and clearly if there was a group of senior Labour figures, then there's a split. I think one of the problems of the manoeuvre that we've seen over the last 3 months is that it's excited and challenged a number of people's loyalty to the party. So there may be a few people leave, but I don't personally foresee a big drama. But who knows? The papers would like it to happen. They've got a shortage of news.
You've been a Labour man all your life, Lewis, is that right?
That's true. I grew up in the North East, and I just remember back to the community I grew up in, as well as the challenges that are still roughly the same. We have made major change. So one of the things I don't agree with some of Jeremy's supporters on is the Blair era. I go back to the North. If I'd been in Liverpool, I'd have been reflecting on a March for Jobs that I went to in 1982, 34 years ago, and Liverpool was a dead-end place. And so my family's that way. It's a theme of my life. I'm not tribal. I challenge and don't necessarily accept the line on a bunch of issues, but I think if you're going to change society, you've got to have a party that's able and committed to winning power and using it well. And I look back at the Labour governments in my time, and not perfect, but we've done a lot. We've done so much since I was a child in the 1960s, which when Britain was an unequal place where huge prejudice and division. Women didn't have equality, black people didn't. It was illegal to be gay, nearly.
And I'll stop grilling you on this, but obviously I was going to because you're here this day. But how does it make How do you feel about the future of the Labour Party, personally? Optimistic, nervous, wary?
Well, it's a cycle. The just like the economy goes up and down, political parties go up and down. I'm positive. I think there are considerable opportunities. I look at the people that we've got as MPs. We've got some hugely talented MPs, and they have got a handle on a range of policies, on the economy, on foreign policy, on the NHS, education. I think we have got the policies for Britain, but you don't get those unless you get elected. And it's a while till the election. I don't believe there's going to be a sudden snap election. And in opposition, you can actually achieve as much, Lee, in opposition. I remember opposition as a councillor stopping things, starting things. I don't believe grammar schools are a necessity, or they're going to happen even, because it's up to a Labour opposition to challenge. It's up to a Labour opposition to get the £350 million a day promised by a bunch of Tories as a result of Brexit. So I think everything's to play for, and the Labour Party's strong at heart.
Thank you, Lewis. So what other stories have you got there? We've done the Labour Party. We've sorted that.
Well, we've then got a little bit of an object lesson, albeit that the whole fiasco of wandering into a referendum after various mistakes, including by the Blair government in terms of how it communicated the change of the number of people coming into the country when Eastern European countries joined the EU. But there's a sort of rush to print book. I mean, ironically, it's got a wonderful title which isn't actually delivered. It says All Out War is the title by Sir Craig Oliver, comms director, and the Daily Mail loves it for some reason, but I find it really dull. It's a little bit like In the Thick of It. Well, it's not even as good as In the Thick of It, but clearly...
So yeah. Who is this chap? Was he working for Cameron?
Yeah, he was Cameron's director of communications at Downing Street, and I think he got a knighthood as part of the Lavender List,
yes,
when Cameron decided to gift all his mates with something on his way out the door.
So there's no juicy behind-the-scenes gossip. It sounds like it's quite dry from what you've read.
It's pretty dull, but I think, in part, what's the most interesting part is it does shed some thoughts and knowledge about Theresa May's character. And what I'm seeing so far, and okay, I'm a Labour councillor, but so take it for what it is. I'm seeing lots of fudge. So where are we going on the economy? Brexit? Oh, that's next year's issue. Cameron's commitments on different issues, the grammar schools, where's that come from? What's that for? We've already got quite a divided education system. There's no merit I can see in that. And there's going to be a ferocious, divisive debate about that. And the Lords hate the idea. So I think she's going to have real trouble. So I think the key issue for Britain, apart from the Labour Party sorting its act out, is the people who are running the place need to sort their act out.
And what's this chap's take on Theresa May? What does he think of her?
Well, I think it's all gossip and little things. So,
well, we
essentially,
love gossip.
I know, but I mean, I've got some time for Theresa May. I think there's some substance there, but I think she's more right wing than she lets on, and she doesn't seem to have the skill of leadership that the last two or four prime ministers have got so far. It's up to her to show it. But I think her team are a real mixed bag. And I'm just not sure she's providing the kind of leadership that, albeit it ended in tragedy with the EU referendum, as far as I'm concerned, that Cameron had. So she doesn't have a strong Chancellor of the Exchequer. Her team, Boris seems to not be allowed to speak for someone who's supposed to be one of their communicators. So we will see, but maybe they're saving it up for their conference. But where is this equality that she's driving for? Where is the economy going? Are we going to get freedom of movement, single market, and the European partnerships that this city vitally needs, despite the fact that she has to meet a different electorate's view outside of Cambridge?
And interesting there that you say the seeds of Brexit went back to Blair's government and the way that figures were communicated.
Yeah, I think it was an evolving tragedy, and I guess we in Cambridge, everybody we met said, "Oh, we're going to stay in." Yet in the north, the people were rushing to Thomas Cook's to get their Euros way before the referendum, because in places like Sunderland or Doncaster or Nuneaton or all sorts of towns and cities in essentially Labour's land, we had other people saying, "I haven't come across anybody that actually is going to vote to stay in." So we've got a divided view on that, and we were sort of in this tide of optimism, certainly in this city, and we were misled, and this could have all been a 52-48 result the other way.
And what could have been? So what's next? What else have you got for us?
Well, one area where Cameron did show some response, albeit it was media management some of the time, was his response to the Syrian refugee crisis. So when a child gets washed up, drowned on a beach on a Greek island, he responded. But particularly, he made a commitment earlier this year to help the 3,000 unaccompanied children, up to 3,000 children in Calais and in Europe. And they made a clear promise that they would help them. And so far, only 30 have arrived. So we're helping refugees from Syria. We've got another family coming this week, where the numbers are growing. We're also helping refugee families with our general housing. We're getting great offers from private landlords of housing. We want to help single refugees. The city has far more opportunity and has the capacity and offers that we've had from families, from people who've got housing not far from here, would like to help single people. And there's two untold stories. One, there is those children in Europe who, with a right-wing mayor in Calais and the proposal from a president in France to shut down the camp, I just don't know what's going to happen to them. And this promise by a British government was to help them. This is a little bit like the Kinder transport that Cameron originally promised before he made an offer to help up to 20,000 direct from the camps on the edge of Syria. He was talking in grand Cameron-esque type language about a new Kinder transport. They are there. They are at severe risk. And there's also another untold story of at least 2,000 children, teenagers that are in care in Cambridgeshire and other counties and in southeast England who are here now. And I want to know what their future is as well. And we're working with Daniel Zeichner as Labour MP and Heidi Allen, who's done a grand job on some of these issues. And we've had meetings with the Home Office. We want to be able to help some of the single refugees as well. And we have the capacity in the city to do that.
Thank you, Lewis. Have you got more stories for us? We might have a little musical interlude.
They're all a bit political. I'm sorry about this.
It's fine.
I genuinely looked through the papers. I was looking for that little sort of Sunday story. And to be fair to the papers today, and I do urge people to go out and buy a paper today, because there is at least reading in them. With the social media, with the age of just instant news, the Sunday papers as an institution has got slightly tarnished. But the other one's another serious story. And again, it's a comparison with other countries, and it is the issue that here we've got the US bombing Syria. We've got the US, I love the Times reading the State Department's guidance about which countries are safe or not safe to go to. And I remember in the 80s they said, "Oh, don't go to London, there's been riots recently, it's not safe." Well, I'd like the US State Department to issue a message about black people in America and say, "Look, I'm sorry, it's not safe to be a black person in America, because regularly police go out and shoot you." And there's been a couple more in the last week. So that's the story. That graphic piece of sort of transcript, the video of a wife watching an event unfold where her husband got shot dead.
And she was saying, he's unarmed.
We've got to find that out. I mean,
Well, the police released some footage this morning as well of that incident. Well, yeah. What is interesting is now there's always some footage. You know, there's somebody there with a phone. Before it was speculation, he said, she said. And now we're looking at different versions of film.
Well, people are going out with cameras, people are going out. I mean, better to have body cameras than guns. I don't know what the story is on this particular one. By comparison, we've had two sets of Chinese mayors or dignitaries in Cambridgeshire last week. One were, I don't know why, but they were looking at riot control, and it was graphic film of them looking at Cambridgeshire's riot control methods. But we also had a group of Beijing junior mayors.
Cambridgeshire has riot control methods.
Well, they
can't
certainly
imagine people
have.
In Cambridgeshire ever.
If you saw on, I think it was, I can't remember, it was Look East or I think it was more Anglia, but they were showing how to how police have to deal with riots and firebombs and all sorts. So the point of my story and is to also link in other Chinese mayors who are in Cambridge, and they said, "Where are your police? We can't see them." I.e., they expect there to be police on the street corners, probably with guns in their holsters, and everybody knows it, but if you've got a gun culture like America has, sure, some people carry a gun in their car. That's the kind of culture they've got. But it's the case, particularly in America, is that they've been shooting black people. They don't shoot white people, and these incidents keep on happening. So I think. We are really lucky, and it's a key theme for us as a council that we work so closely with the police, and I'm proud to know that the police in our city have got such a different view of the world, and they're light years away from this in terms of just understanding their community. They kind of know some of the most difficult, dangerous or whoever in Cambridge anyway, but for that to happen, for someone to watch their husband be shot when I don't think that was at all necessary, and it's just created a family tragedy.
Well, I suppose you have to go a long way back if a police officer is assuming something about a black person that they're not assuming about a white person. That's something that's very deeply entrenched, isn't it? That's in institutional racism or racism.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly was the case in Britain, and there is still issues. So I think there's another paper in the story today about an argument in London about racism of an officer. I was in London in the 80s, as I've mentioned, with some of the people who are leading lights in the Labour Party, and I had to go into the police station a couple of times or work with the Metropolitan Police on a couple of issues, and they were strange, and they did have a culture all of their own. And the good thing about the Cambridgeshire Police, particularly in Cambridge, is they are part of our community. The head of police grew up here. They think Cambridge, and they are not an occupying force. And I think in parts of America, they clearly are an occupying force.
Or consider themselves to be, yeah.
Yeah. So all a bit serious, but there's a lot to read there. And clearly, I'll be following Labour Party conference very closely. And I'm like other people in the Labour Party, we're enthused about the opportunity to come up with a new brand of politics and policies. But politics is about people working together and having a united party. That's the way power is divided in the UK.
Well, good luck with that.
It's going to be an interesting few months.
It's going to be an interesting time. Thank you ever so much for coming in so early to go through the papers. What does the rest of it? Are you knocking on doors today?
No, we'll give them the public a go. But I think it was one of the things I did like about what Jeremy Corbyn said yesterday was we do want to focus on this grammar school and education issue. So we'll be calling on people next weekend, and locally, in my ward, we need to talk to people. We've had recent meetings about transport, housing, parking. Those aren't the sort of front of the newspaper issues, but we've got to get back to those, Lee.
Well, good luck with that, Lewis. Thank you very much. Have a lovely Sunday.
Thank you.